Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. I'm Ben Trueblood with Mary Margaret West.
Hey.
John Paul Basham.
Yo.
We are continuing this episode. I don't know why it gets me. It happens every time,
yeah.
But it's because there's a different yo. This is why we need video.
There were
try to vary
motions.
The yos.
Yeah. Okay.
Hand motions with the yos.
We are in episode number 2 of a little mini series where we're talking about leadership habits relating to specific groups of people in your ministry. So last week we did episode 1 and we talked about leadership habits for your volunteers and staff, if that's a context for you. So if you haven't listened to that one, there's no prerequisite, but go check it out. Good stuff there for you to fill up some drive time or run time or however you listen to podcasts. So leadership habits, week number 2. We're going to talk specifically now about habits to have with leading the teenagers in your ministry. So there is, I said there were no prerequisites, but we'll just say a couple things. You can use a similar framework that we talked about from the 1 Minute Manager by Ken Blanchard in the last episode. Like, you should be praising or noticing good things, positive things that your students are doing and encouraging them along the way. Like for sure you should do that, right? So there are definitely some principles that you can pull along and have similar leadership habits from volunteers to students. But there's also a different approach that you need to take specifically with teenagers. Right out of the gate, let's mention that as you think about leadership habits with students, it's important that you recognize the reality that they don't need another teenager in their life. You are not a teenager, so don't act like one.
Yeah. Yeah, this is so important because it's easy to crave the acceptance of your students sometimes, especially coming in. I think back to, which we've talked about a bunch, going to the church that Ben and I served together in Virginia. They had a rough go of it for the last 5 years or so, and I found myself on several occasions just really wanting those kids to like me. Mm. You know, like, I'm here,
yeah.
I'm busting my tail, I'm doing this for you. Like, I feel called to come and minister to you, and part of that is you actually letting me in. But we can't fall into that. We're not there to be buds.
Right.
We're there to be disciple makers, and that's a very different lane.
Yeah. I think you know, they have other teenagers in their life. That's not what they're looking for. If you want a research example from this, the number two church-related reason that we recently found out in research that we did of why students leave the church in the transition to their college years is because they didn't connect with other church members, with other adults. So there's something within them that's saying, in a spiritual environment, I want to connect in a mentoring relationship. And the number one reason why we saw they stay is when they have 3 or more spiritual mentors from the church in their life. So this reinforces that whole idea that they're not looking for more peers. They have that. Now, certainly there are things that we can do in student ministry to make sure they maximize those peer relationships in a positive way, but they're not looking for that from us. And I think you're exactly right. Like, it's so easy for people in student ministry to slip into, man, I need to get on their level behaviorally in order to feel accepted by them. And that they're not looking for that. Now, they might think that it's cool. They might think that it's funny, but it actually lessens your impact when you move into that category with them.
Yeah, and I think it's important to realize, I mean, they're teenagers. So they don't, some of them do, some of the more mature students do know how to build a relationship that's different, right? A friendship versus a mentorship, a discipleship relationship. But a lot of them, it's like, man, this is how I know to relate.
Yes.
And so it's your job to teach them what this new lane of relationship looks like. And it doesn't mean that you can't be a friend to them. But this means that this is not your primary goal. As a student ministry leader, you've got to think from the outset, what is my job in this relationship? What do these students need most? Above everything, they need you to lead them to the feet of Jesus.
Yeah. So if I'm listening to this podcast, and I kind of am because I'm here with it, but if I put myself in the listener's shoes, then one of, I think, the misconceptions of what we're saying is that they could walk away thinking, well, then I don't need to have as much fun with them, or I don't need to be as fun of a person, or I need to button up, so to speak, and be more serious. And I don't think that's exactly what we're saying. There is a clear difference from trying to act at their level behaviorally and still being willing to have fun with them. And like, if you take a trip to Busch Gardens or Six Flags or Disney World or Universal Studio, whatever is near you, if you take a trip with students there, like, have some fun with them.
Yeah.
So here, let's get super practical and let's give some coaching on this, things that to look out for to see if you're having fun or behaviorally crossing a boundary and maybe leaning more that way than you should.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like when you talk about the theme park, we were just at a theme park, Youth Pastor Summit in Orlando. One of the cool things about that event is that you get a pass to Universal and Islands of Adventure. So I really wanted to ride one ride. And so everybody granted me that and said, okay, we'll go ride one ride. Well, we stood in that line for 90 minutes, which was...
it was a long
wait.
That's
a long time.
It was a bigger ask than I thought it was going to be.
It was a lot of fun. Like, once we got to the ride, though, like, it was worth it.
Yeah.
It was a good ride.
So, but here's the thing. If you are being intentional about your role... And I say this thinking back on all the times that I took kids to theme parks and wasn't intentional enough. Then you know, I'm going to be standing in a line for 30 minutes to an hour, and you're standing there with your students needing something to talk about. You know, there's always going to be somebody's going to break out a game of Big Booty.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever.
Or We Love Jesus. Yes, we do. We Love Jesus. How about you?
Oh, my God.
Please don't do that. Let's nip that one in the bud.
So part of that stuff... I mean, student ministry is fun, and that's part of the joy of student ministry. So it's important to have fun. But if you're really being savvy about that, then you come into that experience with a couple of things that you want to ask those students to kind of gauge where they are and dig into that spiritual conversation. That's part of how they learn to just do that with their friends later.
Yeah.
Hey, I was reading this the other day, and I'm not sure what I think about it. Help me process this.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be... Well, I told you all to bring your pocket New Testament, so let's get turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and start studying.
Bible study in the line.
Yeah, we got 30 solid minutes here.
Yeah.
But just intentional conversation.
Yeah,
I think that's great. Mm-hmm. I would, if you're looking for a what not to do, don't be involved in pulling off, pranking with, alongside, or on anyone in your ministry.
Yeah.
Like that, if you're looking for a boundary that you should not be involved in as a student pastor, there's one.
Mm-hmm.
That moves you into, I'm acting like a teenager rather than having fun with my teenagers.
Yeah, or falling into any kind of conversation about another student or another adult leader.
That's great.
You know, you've got a group of kids that you really like, you've spent a lot of time with, and all of a sudden it turns into like, why is this other kid so weird?
Yeah.
You are not part of the posse.
No.
Yeah.
You may not jump in and say, oh my gosh, yeah, I had this conversation with them the other day. You'll never believe what happened.
Yeah.
That's your opportunity to stand up for that student and to correct that conversation.
Yeah. Given that 1 minute reprimand.
1 minute.
Yeah.
To call back to the last episode.
And then tell them how much you believe in them to be able to have better conversation in the future because
That's right.
of what you already know about them.
That's right.
And I think, too, you know, when I think about those sorts of situations, I think about, like, school lunches and football games and, you know, places where you naturally find yourself when you're at home. And, you know, and if you're the one over there going, like, how many tater tots can I shove in my mouth to impress all these students?
Like, what's wrong with that?
Well, John Paul, a few things are wrong with that, you know. But, like, it's... You know, but like rather than going like who have I connected with? Like, have I met their friends? Do I know their name? Like, have I found out what their favorite drink at Sonic is or whatever that may be, of going like, what have I learned from whatever it is that I just did? Like, is there anything that I can walk away saying, hey, like these are some things that happened as a result, not like I got 16 tater tots in today, like, you know, whatever it is. So,
yeah. So you I totally agree.
Yeah.
You've mentioned Sonic and tater tots.
I must be hungry.
So, where do you place tater tots in the world of fast food side dishes? Like, are you a tater tot fan?
At Sonic, yes, because they're better than the fries.
At Sonic.
At Sonic, they're better than the... I don't really like Sonic's
I feel like
fries.
Sonic is just a poor fast food experience.
Yeah, it's not...
You get that foot-long chili cheese coney? That is right.
That used to hit the spot. I used to put one end on the steering wheel.
Because it came in the U-shaped box.
You could
just feed it out.
The front of the box down.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Feed the dog in.
Wow. I've never done that.
When you say used to, well, give me a time frame here.
I mean.
Last time. You had
the last time that I did that. It's probably been a solid 5 or 6 years since I've done that.
Yeah.
I would do it again.
Yeah.
But Sonic, my goodness. It's like supposed to be, I think the impression that I have is that it's supposed to be super fast because you just drive up there, you have your station, you push the button, like you're not waiting in line in a drive-thru.
Yeah.
And it always ends up being 10 times longer than the line that you wait in at some other place.
Yeah.
Here's what I believe about Sonic. They have gone all in on drinks.
Yes.
And have cast everything else to the side.
Now, a cherry limeade.
See, and I'm a strawberry or cranberry.
I can be down
limeade.
With a cherry limeade.
Ooh. Yeah, I don't like
cranberry.
Oh, the cranberry. Yes. Y'all.
Have you ever done the watermelon Sprite?
No.
No.
We
sounds
take
good
a field
though.
Trip after
yeah.
This
that's a Trey Sanford turned me onto the watermelon Sprite.
I can get down with their ice cream too.
Yeah.
The shakes.
Yeah. I like the shakes. I'm a fan of that. But yeah, I mainly go for the frozen treats. And their breakfast burritos are surprisingly good.
See, I've never done Sonic.
And they
for
serve
breakfast.
Them all day long.
All right.
So, yeah. Anyway.
Number one fast food restaurant.
Chick-fil-A.
We almost have to throw Chick-fil-A out.
Man.
Now, we'll accept it. Other people are already throwing Chick-fil-A out.
I know.
So
I mean, that's
we'll
just,
keep Chick-fil-A
and it's
in.
It's not just because they love Jesus. It's because it's just superior.
It is good.
It
John
is
Paul.
Good.
It is good.
Yeah.
But I really like a Hardee's chicken biscuit with 2 packs of Texas Pete on it.
Yeah.
I think that's probably my favorite. I've done the Bojangles Cajun filet.
Right.
And it's pretty good, but I don't think it beats the Hardee's.
The Chick-fil-A chicken biscuit. Like, if we're going just breakfast, it's solid. Yeah. I am also a big fan, breakfast only here, of the McDonald's sausage McMuffin.
It's good.
The English muffin makes it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I can't do the muffin.
Yeah.
Or the like syrup infused, like the pancake.
No, I don't
sandwich.
Like that. It's too much.
Too much maple.
Why do that?
Kristen the other night was making fun of me because I have often said my favorite Mexican food is Taco Bell.
Mm.
And she was making fun of me because the other day we passed the Fazoli's and I was like, oh man, Fazoli's is so awesome. And she was like, you hate Italian food. And I said, yeah, but I like Fazoli's. It's my favorite Italian food. Fazoli's.
Really?
And here's why. Because they don't try to act like they're anything special. Most Italian places try to get all fancy.
White tablecloth.
Yeah.
Low lights.
And it's food that you can do at home.
Yeah.
So it's the same food as Fazoli's,
yeah.
Except they try to act nicer, and it's more expensive. So you give me a Fazoli's breadstick, some fettuccine Alfredo with chicken, I'm just as happy as if I'd gone to any Italian place.
I did not know that about you.
Yeah.
We lived like minutes from a Fazoli's the whole time we were in Newport News, and we never experienced it.
No,
together.
It's been a long time since I've had Fazoli's, and so that I may have been remembering it more fondly.
Yeah.
Than I. So, as we leave, hard. Let's get back into
from
this thing.
Tater tots back to
as we get back into leading students, part two of this, Mary Margaret, I think this is something that you were talking about before we pressed go on the podcast here, but how important it is for you to always be positive, speak with supporting messages about parents to their teenagers.
Oh gosh, that's critical. And it gets you a lot of room with parents, whether you ever realize it or not, you know, because some of them are going to hear that. Some of them are going to notice that you said that, or that their student's going to come home and like, in trying to explain why they're doing what they're doing, they're like, my youth pastor told me that I ought to do this or whatever. But I think the biggest piece of that is that you're trying to affirm what parents are doing, whatever that looks like for them in their home. And, you know, when things are good, it's hard too, because I talked to a woman the other day who is serves in student ministry and is trying to help disciple a girl who comes from a background where her family doesn't know the Lord. This girl is a first believer in her family.
Yeah.
And her punishments right now are things that are church related.
Like,
and
you can't go Wednesday night or whatever.
Yeah, you can't go to Wednesday night, like all this kind of stuff. And I said, you know, the best thing you can do is to continue to affirm that this girl's got to be obedient to her parents. Because, I mean, like, that is scriptural. It's super important. You know, and as long as they're, you know, that student's not being harmed, all like you go down that road. But just
I think you made a great point there. Like, we're setting, if there's something evil taking place in the, like, we're setting those situations aside when we talk about this. But sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah,
but
no, I'm glad for that clarification, because I think that we've got to be aware that when those things happen, that we have a responsibility to step up to the plate. But when things are good at home, and maybe just those parents don't love Jesus, they don't know, because they don't know him, you know, that we've still got to point those students back to being obedient to their parents and being faithful in their home, and that we're giving respect to those parents because they don't know any better. And but then too, even with parents of students who love Jesus and are involved in your church, you know, sometimes those things are, it's difficult to respect those parents because they've, you know, maybe there's a reason that you've lost the respect, but that doesn't mean that we can disrespect those parents. And if we can push back towards discipleship continuing to happen first and foremost in the home, and that we're equipping parents, we're helping, and this, it goes beyond this conversation, but like that we're affirming what they're doing and that we're helping those parents help their students, that's the best win we could have, is that those parents are the first line of defense and that we're constantly trying to champion them, cheer them on, be helpful, and affirm the kind of things that they're saying to their students, is going to be a big win in the long
run. That's so good.
And not just parents. I think this extends to any authority in a student's life, because this is a culture that more and more does not automatically give respect to authority just because they're in a position of authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that's a great word too, because authority is a spiritual issue.
Yeah.
It's not a personality conflict. It is a spiritual thing. And we respond to authority many times the way that we respond to our spiritual authority. Yeah. Those things are paralleled, not apart from each other. Mm-hmm.
And like whether that's teachers, coaches, their boss at their job, that we are continuing to speak positively towards those people as somebody that they've got to learn how to work underneath and, you know, be a part of the team, be a part of the class, or, you know, be a good worker wherever it is that they are, and just say, hey, even though maybe they haven't earned your respect, you've got to give it to them. Yeah. And, you know, what could change if you were a change agent in that you can help those students see that they can do something about the situation by being like, by doing what's right in the situation, by being respectful.
Yeah.
This is something that I think not only teaches them to respect their elders, to respect authority, the spiritual principles there, that there is just a responsibility to realize this level of respect that we are to give in obedience to the Lord. All of that is modeling the respect and the reverence that we are to give to God as his people. But I think it also reinforces at whatever point we're able to lift up a student and give them a position of leadership, having taught this respect for authority, now we're able to put a lot of weight on the shoulders of that student to say, okay, listen, you are now the authority in this. You are now the leader in this area. And so just as you give honor to somebody who's in leadership, you now must also live in a way that's worthy of the honor that you're going to be asking other students to give you as you lead here.
That's
good. If you're leading worship or as you're teaching on a Wednesday night or leading a Bible study or whatever that is.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
The final piece that we're going to talk about, certainly not the final piece of leadership habit with students, but something that I think deserves its due attention, is having difficult conversations with students. So in the last episode, we talked about leadership habits with volunteers and staff, and we called these 1-minute reprimands based on the book and framework 1-Minute Manager by Ken Blanchard. Always want to give credit where credit is due. So it's a similar thing here. If we see teenagers going down a path that they don't need to go, we need to be willing, as part of that mentoring role, to step in there. And I think that when we've placed ourselves in that mentoring role, it gives us more credibility to be able to address those things. And again, we have to remember appropriateness, because these are minors we're talking about. And, you know, there's the gender. So if you're a male or female student ministry leader, we need to remember that when we have these kind of conversations. So there's definitely boundaries that we need to have. There's because they're minors, there's parents that we need to bring in. If there's, you know, if there are issues of self-harm or harming, like we don't need to, you don't need to keep those things to yourself in a difficult conversation. You need to bring authorities and parents and take appropriate levels of response there. But if we're talking about kind of normal run-of-the-mill kind of things, we need to be willing to step into that side of being a mentor as well and call them out to something better.
Yeah.
And this is something that I think they receive better from us as their leaders when we haven't positioned ourselves as their new best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then it feels like, well, what are you talking about? Like, we were just hanging out, having fun, and then all of a sudden you try to be my dad or something?
Yeah.
You know, when there's already an established position of authority that, you know, I'm your youth pastor, I'm here to help you grow closer to Jesus, then there's an understanding, like that they are doing this out of love and care. There's an understanding of what it means for you to be shepherding them, and that this reprimand, this discipline in the moment, is to push them further in this process of sanctification. It's not just a slap on the wrist for a slap on the wrist, but I think that is received out of the place that it's given from.
Yeah.
And if we're giving that out of, you know, being best buds, then it's going to be received just like if one of their friends at school just all of a sudden said, hey, you can't do that. You know, then it just turns into a fight.
Yeah. I think with this, it's important to remember that they're teenagers are going to be teenagers.
Yep.
And I don't say that in like, you know, normally when we hear that kind of phrase, it's like, well, boys will be boys. And
yeah.
I don't mean it
not
that.
Not to dismiss that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not dismissing. I don't mean it that way at all. I do mean it in terms of they're going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a leader, core kid in your ministry, do something stupid at Disciple Now.
Yeah.
They're going to do something dumb at camp. They're going to, at some point, they're going to make a mistake. It's at some point we do, right? And it's at that point that it's a discipleship moment to step in and say, hey, like as our hypothetical example, as our student ministry worship leader, you know, you're a 11th grader and you've stepped up and you're leading from the student band on Wednesday nights or whatever. Man, you have to realize that the mantle of leadership and walking with Jesus means that you need to look at this situation that just happened really differently than the way you handled it.
Yeah.
And that is a discipleship moment beyond anything else. And I think maybe sometimes we miss those, either out of fear of not wanting to have that conversation or fear of what's this person going to think of me if I correct in this way, or just a desire to be liked, like we've talked about earlier in the podcast.
Or on the other side, an over-emotional reaction out of disappointment and surprise that they did something wrong.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's something Mary Margaret and I talked about in a podcast not too long ago.
Yeah.
Just having that expectation, like you were saying, They're going to make mistakes.
Yeah, they're learning.
That's part of your job as a pastor is right. to lead them, to pastor them through those things, knowing that we're going to fail. We're going to mess up. And yeah. people have been gracious with us and have mm-hmm. led us through those things. And it's our job to be gracious to them and lead them through those things and have a plan in place beforehand.
Yeah.
You know, if this happens with any student, what is the response? What is the plan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even just taking that minute to pause, like if you don't react out of frustration or in the moment, like there are very few things that require a response in the moment, like in the heat of the moment. And other things can say, hey, we're going to come back to this later and talk about it. But where you've processed through and prayed through how to have a conversation that's going to help foster growth and change, hopefully, because, you know, like you said, Ben, you know, they're teenagers. And if we don't give them a safe space to learn now where they can realize that, hey, like I love you, but like this wasn't okay. Yeah. And, you know, but give them some like, hey, but here's what we need to do here forward, like, and help walk them through that. Like it's a much better moment for that to happen during high school and for us to give them grace in those moments than for them to go off to college never having ever really helped, you know, had somebody either protect them so much that those things didn't really happen mm-hmm. or having nobody that would actually hold their feet to the fire. And now there's no account, like maybe there's no accountability in their lives. And so, you know, those things can really be beneficial to your ministry and to that student in particular. If you'll just take the time to handle it with a lot of care and with a lot of prayer and go into it really wisely and having talked to, you know, other people, the counselors, who, you know, parents, whoever it may be, you know, but having those conversations as well.
It's like those people showed up on American Idol. Nobody ever told them they couldn't sing, and now they made a fool of themselves yeah. in front of the whole world.
Yeah. That's right.
You just got to step up and tell them.
Yeah. You can't sing.
Somebody needs to tell them.
The other side of that difficult conversation with a student, difficult in a different way, is being willing to call out unused potential.
Yeah.
So if you see a student in your ministry that could be doing something so much more, and they're just kind of floating along, and you see this in them, then being willing to, now again, this relies on relational credibility mm-hmm. and a lot of things there. You got to be willing to cash in some chips a little bit, but put yourself out there enough to say, hey, I see this in you.
Yeah.
How can I help? How can we help you move forward in whatever area that is, whether it's yeah. a talent that's not being used or whatever.
And sometimes that's almost all it takes.
Just mentioning it.
For somebody to hear, oh, you see more in me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of voices that say, oh, no, you need to wait to do all of those things. You
you're
know,
right.
when you can do those things when you
yeah.
grow up.
You're not
you
old
can,
enough.
Yeah.
yeah.
But for somebody to say, no, I believe there's a lot more in the tank for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you're right.
There are people that I encounter now as adults, you know, as peers and friends who just never had people who really were in their corner. And when you will look at somebody and go, hey, I'm fighting for you. Like, I believe in you. I'm with you. Like, let's do this thing. It's such a game changer to watch how the Lord can use somebody who feels confident in their their calling and their gifting and all of those things. And watch somebody truly like flourish and grow that just needs somebody to say, I believe in you. Because we've got students who, like, while they've got great parents, their parents aren't saying, I believe in you, you've got this, you know, like, that aren't affirming the things that they see. You know, they're doing more of the reprimanding all the time. And so, you know, God gives us an incredible opportunity a lot of times to see those good things and say, yeah. hey, you've, like, I'm in your corner. How can I help? Like, what can I do to be a resource for you? You know, as you're leading, like, I want to equip you. Like, what does that look like? And even with your adult leaders to do the same. And
yeah.
so, you know, those things, those little things go a really long way.
You mentioned volunteer leaders mm-hmm. in that. And just as a side note to the podcast, this one specifically, I think if you want to take this content and use it as a way to train your volunteers and how to form leadership habits that they have with their students in their small groups and things, just feel free to use anything that we talk about on the podcast for you to train others and use in your ministry setting. We want this to be a resource for you that you can take and use elsewhere. This has been another episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. We will see you next time.